Good to be back. I pulled off a rookie move on the plane today. I'm not a frequent flyer, but I sat in my chair, and my chair was like, you know those like gangsters that drive with their chair like way back?
I don't think that's exclusive to gangsters, but yeah.
I don't know. You know the guy that like he leans way back.
The low rider, and he's way back, yeah.
Low rider. So I'm low rider guy. And I leaned back to the guy behind me and I said, dude, I'm really sorry. Like, my chair is broken. I have to lean back. So I said, I'll do you a favor. I'll just, like, go forward. And I was forward guy, which is just, like, standing straight up. And then, like, half an hour into the flight, he goes, did you try the lock button on your chair? Like, the button thing? And I go, no. He goes, well, try that. So, you know where this goes, right? That was a rookie move.
What I don't understand is that's not new technology.
Dude, I know.
Like back when you used to fly, that button was there, man.
It's
been there,
there
for a long time.
That button has been there forever.
How did you forget about the button?
I don't know. I was starting to think my chair was going back because I'm a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big guy. Then I just said to him, like, dude, I don't know what's wrong with my chair. It's broken.
So did they let you take off
in
that position? Because I've never understood why it matters if your chair is up on takeoffs and on landings. Like, that's, like, the big thing. Sir, please make sure your chair is up. Why does it make a difference?
They let me.
They let you go? Okay. Craig, you fly a lot. Why would that matter? Explain to me.
I can't explain it. I always chuckle when they say you can use your seat cushion as a flotation device. I always get a real chuckle out of that one.
Not very comforting.
If you're grabbing your seat, you're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those planes hit the water when they crash at about 9,000 miles an hour, and you got fragments, right? Like, how's my seat cushion going to serve as a flotation device for me?
There's only one, like, Sully Sullenberger, whatever the hell his name is.
They made a movie out of that.
Yeah, they did. The Hudson. Landed it. Was it on the Hudson River?
Yeah, it was the Hudson River, I believe, yeah. That would have been quite
horrifying.
A sight, I would think.
Did you watch that?
I haven't seen the movie, no.
Don't.
You've watched it?
Yeah. Horrifying.
Tom Hanks does a pretty good job.
He does, but the idea of me going to New York and touching down in that river, no thanks.
Everybody got off, eh? No, everybody survived. Jeff, I got to tell you, you talk about your little scene. Yesterday when we were talking about you being back, I said, what train is he going to be on? And Ryan says, no, he flies now. And I said, whoa.
Craig had no idea that you're a flyer now.
Really?
And guess what
was
revealed yesterday? Craig's wife is a big fan of MyPillow.
Oh, huge.
Huge fan of MyPillow. Craig ordered MyPillows for him and his wife is a big supporter.
Yep.
So.
Hang on a sec. Like, actually notices a difference?
Oh, absolutely. She told me. I was over in Europe, and the box came, and she says, what's this box? I said, oh, try it. It's pillows. She goes, pillows? I said, yeah. I said, MyPillow is a sponsor, and so I got it. And she has these on-and-off sleeps regularly. I hit the pillow, and I'm out. I have no problem sleeping. She thinks it's just phenomenal. She loves it.
Someone texting in here.
All the nonsense we do. It's true.
We goof around a lot, but I'm not kidding. Like, I use it, my wife uses it, and people write in all the time with testimonials saying, we get it, and I love it, and Craig's wife is a big fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before we get to some real stuff here in a moment,
hang on a sec. Can you not get me one?
Why don't you go online and use the promo code
Hayes? Dude, you're a spokesperson. We work together. That's the kind of side deals we do.
Did you get me a trampoline?
Do you go to the alumni box? Yes or no?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did go to the alumni box.
How many times?
Three? If I'm going to speak for a broadcasting class, you want to come along? Like, that's the access I can get you. You can get me access to the alumni box.
A broadcasting class?
But that's what I do for a living. Like, that's what I can get you in for
free. No, you're the spokesman for MyPillow. Get me a pillow.
I'll see what I can do.
Like, you get money. Like, you're paid by them.
I'm endorsing the product. That's right.
So you call
them. I can't just hand them out. I'm not Michael Jordan. It's not like I have a shoe line. It's not personally my pillow.
Dude, I play for the Maple Leafs, and people call me and say, hey, can you get me a signed jersey by so-and-so? You go up to the guy and say, hey, sign the jersey for my buddy. And that's what you do. You give it to your buddy.
All right, I'll see if I can. I'll send a note.
Send the guy an email and say, can you get my buddy O'Neill, who I work with every day? He pumps up the MyPillow.
Right.
Get me a MyPillow.
Okay, and if he says no, then what do you want me to do about it?
Then I'll call him.
I got a quick question because I've been out of the loop a little while. What happened with the autographed bat for Kara? Like, how did that all
done?
That got to her eventually.
Okay, eventually. Yeah. Who delivered it?
I did. I got it there, like I said I would. But I also brought my own gift.
Which, a Swiss Chalet gift certificate.
No, I got her something else.
No,
but
you didn't.
Yes, I did. I got her the headphones for the kid, but it turns out two other people had already given her that gift. So basically what I gave her was a gift card and a receipt to go get cash from Babies R Us. Because they just returned it and got the $40
She did use the Swiss Chalet because she did an Instagram thing.
Well, she sent me a text last night asking me if I was aware of all this new food at Swiss Chalet. And I said, absolutely I am, because they sent it in last week. They got that new fried chicken, the mac and cheese, garlic
mash. Bring
some
now if you like.
It's your call. We're just throwing it out there.
But anyway, as far as the MyPillow, just say
I'll see what I can do. I will genuinely look into it for you, okay? I'll shoot an email out. I don't know if I'll get a response.
Dude, you're just like Duffy, though. You'll always say, like, I'll shoot an email, but you actually don't do it.
I like how you dropped the alumni box bomb on me as if you pay for the alumni box.
That's a pretty big thing.
It's a great
and those, like,
thing.
That's
I
having,
enjoyed every
like,
second
of it. You can't get tickets to the alumni box. You need
Jeff. Excuse me. As friends, you do things for each other. That's my gift to you.
And I appreciate it. Yeah. I love
so
being
in there.
So three
times you came to the alumni box. You had your chicken penne.
Mm-hmm.
You had some beers. You watched the Leaf game. You had a bear trap put on your ear a couple times, but not my problem.
Not your problem.
But that's what I do for you.
And I appreciate all of that support.
So
I will look into the MyPillow, okay?
You have to, because that's all I want.
All right. We've got a bunch of, like, pilots and different people in the flight industry that are texting in about what's going on with the seats. We'll get to that later because we're wasting enough time.
Oh, what are they saying? I'm too big for the seat?
No, I guess they're saying basically the reason that the chairs have to be in a certain position for takeoff and landing is because that's usually when there's an accident and it's easier to get through the aisles if the seat is up. So that's understandable.
Dude, if you're in an accident, man, you're done anyway.
Whether the seat is up or down is whatever. All right, can we move on now?
Go ahead.
All right. Kevin Pillar, we believe, is going to be speaking to the media here at some point. If and when that happens, we're going to try to play it for you live. If we can't play it live, we'll turn the audio around. We'll let you hear it. Obviously, that's the big story in the city today. Pillar, if you're not aware of what happened last night, in the seventh inning, he wasn't happy about getting quick pitched. He used a homophobic slur. At the time, it was just lip reading, right? Twitter's like, I think this may have happened. I watched the video 30 times. I couldn't tell what he said, but it began to pick up speed to the point where you thought, okay, someone's got a pretty good read on this. He didn't completely admit to using the word postgame last night, but I don't know why the media didn't ask him directly, did you use this word? No one asked him directly, did you use the F word? And today, though, he has come out. But an hour or two ago, he issued an apology saying, quote, following my at-bat in the seventh inning, I used inappropriate language towards Braves pitcher Jason Mott. By doing so, I had just helped extend the use of a word that has no place in baseball, in sports, or anywhere else in society today. I'm completely and utterly embarrassed and feel horrible to have put the fans, my teammates, and the Blue Jays organization in this position. So he goes on to continue to say, I apologize personally to Jason Mott, the Braves, et cetera. So now we ask ourselves, where does it go from here? Ross Atkins flew on a bird down to Atlanta earlier today. He's going to be speaking with the media, I believe, at some point in the next hour or two. We'll try to listen in on that. I would assume, based on the precedent set with the Yunel Escobar story back in 2012, he's going to get suspended by the team at least three games, maybe four or five. I would suggest that's in the best interest of Pillar, the team. Get out in front of this before Major League Baseball takes over. It's a word that you just can't use in a place of business anymore, in society in 2017. He knows it. You can't do it. It's that easy. He knows the suspension's coming. I can't imagine he would file a grievance or protest against it. I think he'll accept it, and then he'll move on.
Do either of you two remember what happened to Andrew Shaw in Chicago?
Yep.
Was it two games?
Was it one or two games?
He got two games.
It was two games, right? And then he had to, I mean, he issued an apology, and then he had to, didn't he have to do some community service?
Well, I don't know if he had to.
But he decided to. Right.
And that is one point of contention that I take with this whole conversation that we're currently having. This is a word, again, everyone knows, everyone accepts. You can't use it. And it's being eradicated from society for the right reasons.
Yep.
Trying to be.
Exactly. Not fully. And it never will be fully gone. It's never going to happen. But this is not political correctness gone awry or gone amok. This is happening for the right reasons. And I'm sure Pilar's aware of it. I'm sure everyone's aware of it. But this word gets thrown around a lot of times.
That's what I was going to say, Brian. Be careful of your outrage and how you're going to be critical of Kevin Pilar. If you're having locker room talk or water cooler talk and you're tossing around, Aaron Ward, when he did a feature on this, it's like when you go to a movie and you don't like it, you can't say that movie was such and such, which is the word that Kevin Pilar used. You can't do that. So it's something, and this is close to me. Two of my uncles are gay, and I love them very much. And you can't talk like guys where guys are like, this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so. It's just not acceptable. But don't think that because he said this, and this is very wrong. He made a mistake. He admitted to that. But it doesn't mean that he has any hatred or feelings towards people that are gay. He screwed up. He made a mistake. And that's part of the culture that has to you have to work on to not say.
Exactly. And this is not the equivalent of him calling a black player the N-word. This is not the equivalent. This is not him. I can't speak for him, but I feel fairly comfortable in saying Kevin Pilar isn't actually saying to Jason Mott, you're gay and I know you're gay.
Yeah.
This is him using a word out of frustration that he shouldn't use, that is stupid, that he's going to be penalized for, that he should be penalized for. And if he decides to take it further than that and reach out to the LGBT community, pay for charities or whatever, by all means, do that. And that would be great. I think he has to be open and honest about it. And I think he should be under the belief that he's going to have to talk about it for quite some time.
If he was going to pay this or join all these different things and communities, it would almost be like he's just doing it to do it, which to me almost doesn't make sense. Like Andrew Shaw became a spokesperson, and it's like, if you don't really believe in that, why are you doing that? Are you just doing that because you got caught saying something on TV and now you want to...
You want to get people off your back in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because, so if you don't really want to do it and if that's not something that's passionate to you, don't make the guy do it. I don't know, it's...
I'm in the same boat, man. And that's why I'm saying, if he makes that decision, okay, you know what, I made a mistake here, I don't want this to hover over my career, or I have decided I'm going to reach out and do it, go for it, by all means. And I would fully support him in that. I would like to believe the Jays would do the same thing. His teammates would do the same thing. And I think Blue Jays fans would do the same thing. But the idea that he has to go through the playbook, okay, you use this word, so now you have to be this ambassador, you have to give money to that, you have to do this for the rest of your career to prove that you've been rehabilitated, is something
I think is
going too far. He made a big mistake. He should pay for it. He will pay for it.
Totally agree. I agree with Jeff. I mean, my youngest brother is gay, and I think there's a difference between homophobic word and being homophobic, right? It's a difference. There's racism and there's sexism, right? That, I mean, you're never going to eradicate it all. That's just the way it is, right? But I think in the case, from what I know about Kevin Pilar to this point here, I think it was just an inappropriate use of the word. And, I agree with you, Brian. If you feel that you want to get involved for the right reasons and whatever those reasons are, I'm not the judge of what's right or wrong, but get involved. But don't think you have to do it to your point to say, hey, listen, I just want to show everybody I'm not. And, I mean, unless he is accused of being something, then he's got a whole different issue.
Right. And it's a sensitive topic.
Yeah, no question.
It is a very sensitive topic. And you knew... The second it happened and it started picking up a steam on Twitter, you're like, this is going to be a big story.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big story. But you look at it from the Braves standpoint, and they're not the judge, jury, and executioner either, but they are heated with the Blue Jays today. Very heated with the Blue Jays.
Oh, and there's stories coming out where they're saying we're going to fight the Jays today. And
but if I were to take a guess without knowing, without getting into the minds of their 25-man roster, their manager, their GM, if I were to take a guess at what is bothering them today and what they feel they have to hold the Jays accountable for today, it would go Freeman getting injured. Freddie Freeman, fractured wrist. He's out 10 weeks. That's their best player. The guy's been, like, on an MVP tear. They've been hit 7 times in 3 games. So retribution for that, which is an unwritten code, but it happens, would be number one. Bautista's bat flip would be number two.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, Pilar's use of this homophobic slur, probably three, because it gets used more than we think. It shouldn't get used more than we think, but a lot of times in the heat of battle, oh, you've been on the – guys say something, they don't even think about what the other guy's saying. Like, I don't think Mott was like, I can't believe you said that, I'm going to get to you. I think he was like, who are you? Like, screw you. Yeah, I quick-pitched you, but I got you. You swung at it.
Do you know what we got to get to, though, in society, and this is where we got to work to? It doesn't matter if it's the heat of battle. It doesn't matter if it's the locker room. It doesn't matter if it's the water cooler. Can't use the word. End of story. And I don't care how emotional you are. We have to get it right. We talk about racism. Think about, you know, how the N-word was used many, many years ago, right? Like, it's unacceptable. There's no reason to use that word in any shape or form, like whether you're mad, emotional, whether it's locker room or not. And it's the same now. We've progressed in the same manner to this, too. Mm-hmm. So there's no excuse for it. And I don't think Pilar is trying to make an excuse for it.
I'm going to take him for his word that he's contrite and that he's embarrassed.
I generally think that Kevin Pilar, and I don't know him, I don't cover him like Scotty Mack or other guys that cover the Blue Jays, but I genuinely think he is a good person, and I think he slipped up here and said something stupid, much like an Andrew Shaw in Chicago, where I think he's, you know, he's a hard-nosed guy, but I think generally he's a good guy, and there's no excuse for it, but I think there's the idea of the person being a good person, and they just did something stupid.
Yeah.
So for the outrage, for people saying this guy, I don't know. I think there's bad people and there's good people on this earth.
And this is a rare situation, and I don't do this very often, if at all, where I can actually put myself in a similar position just based on what we do for a living. We talk a lot. We have to fill 15 hours of dead air every single week. 3 hours a day we're coming in here and talking. If I'm lucky enough to be in this career for the next 20 or 30 years, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to slip up and say something stupid. And
Brian, there's a good chance if we work together for the next 10 years, our mic's going to be on and one of us is going to say something stupid.
Right. And at that point, we'll have to pay the price. We'll have to explain it. We'll have to hopefully be contrite and try to describe what was going on or whatever. But should it be life-altering? You know, should it get to a point where this defines Kevin Pilar? I'm not going to go that far right now. Now, if more comes out down the road that he's got a history of this, okay, that's a very different story. And listen, this story doesn't end because of the statement. We'll see where it goes from here, and we'll see how he deals with it. And I do think it's important that he speaks to the media. Not for the media, not to fill clicks and pages and all that. It's to speak to the fans and speak to the general public and give an explanation of what happened here. But it's stupid. Should never be said. I think we've come a long way in society. I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget how far society has gone already in my lifetime. It's a completely different world today than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. And in a lot of ways, in a much better way. And it's an example. And he shouldn't have done it. He's going to pay a price. Where he takes it from here, I think it should be on him. If he wants to continue to educate and use this as an example, I would fully support it. I think that'd be a great idea.
I get that, and I can't say enough. Like, I don't want him to join different groups and support different things if it's just because he said that. Guys, the way they talk in locker rooms, and I think it might be difficult for people to understand because this – the way they talk, it's just, and it's not acceptable. I'm not defending anything he said, but I generally don't think he has any mean-spirited feelings towards gay people or anything like that. He slipped up and said something stupid, and he deserves to be reprimanded, whatever that might be, whether it's a fine. But for him, like, he's got to want to do something for this. I don't know if Andrew Shaw, I think he joined some different groups and was a spokesperson. If he didn't want to do it and just did it because he said something and got caught, I don't believe in that. It's like, do it because you want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And then that would truly be contrition. Like, I realize this happened. I don't like that I'm associated with it, and we'll move on. I mean, that game last night was wild, and I don't know what to expect tonight because the Braves are furious.
Oh, yeah.
They are furious. And, again, the Pillar incident, I think, is third on their list of gripes. Like, the Freeman getting beaned and the Bautista bat flip. Bautista's right in the middle of it again.
Well, one thing I'll add to it, this is the last time the Blue Jays and the Braves play because it's interleague play.
For a couple of years, too. Yeah.
So, you know, if the Braves want to, they understand that if they want to exact retribution, whatever the code is, or the unwritten, this is their night to do it.
I think Bautista's got, this is a moment for Bautista to figure out who he is and what he wants to be. Because if you're going to be a bad boy and you're going to bat flip and you're going to talk smack, then go for it. Do it. Like, be honest with you, from that standpoint, putting the Pillar stuff aside, clearly that's a very unique, isolated situation. But everything else that's happened with this team over the past few games and throughout the season, they're not very good right now. I'm not sure they're going to get back in the hunt.
He's not very good.
At the very least, be interesting. So if you want to be pains in the asses, if you want to be, I say embrace the chaos. You know, if I'm looking at Bautista, if this is what you want to do and you want to bat flip and this is who you want to be, go for it. But then don't get to home plate and try to explain yourself.
You're saying embrace the chaos for your own good.
Absolutely. Make something interesting of the season.
But I lived in Ann Arbor for 12 years when the bad boys were coming through. Bill Laimbeer, it was no act.
Didn't apologize for anything.
He was a bad boy. They were bad boys, and they celebrated what they are. So what, Bautista's all of a sudden, go, oh, I should maybe be a bad boy act? I think it would be an act.
See, I think, and
I don't think he'd be true to himself.
I think you're right in terms of the overall toughness and him looking to fight people and stuff like that. And that's not conducive to the sport. But I think his initial reaction is to show up the opposition. Like, I think that, like, when he hit that home run, it's 8-3. It makes it 8-4. You're not going to win that game.
What I don't understand is why are the benches not clearing every time Stroman strikes out a guy and stares him down when he walks to the dugout? That, to me, that's the same thing. He does it every single batter.
And Bautista like, said got? That after the game. Like, he said, he equated the bat flip and the celebration to the celebration after a big strikeout or a big defensive play. And that's another thing why I would say, if you're being revolutionary here, if this is the new era and this is where the game is going, that after a big hit we bat flip, then don't back down. Bat flip. Go ahead.
I think Bryce Harper had a comment last year. He said, I'm tired of the old school mentality where it's like, you got to do this, you got to do that. This is 3.5 to 4 hours every single day. If you can't make it somewhat entertaining, what are we doing here?
Go for it, man. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I believe it was Bryce Harper. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was.
If the Jays are going to finish with 75 wins, you got to make the season interesting. You know, throw at people sometimes. Because I'm curious to see what happens tonight. Because you know the Braves, they're looking for flesh. They want payback because Freeman's out. They're furious about that. The amount of times they've been hit. Pillar, his reaction to the quick pitch. And Bautista bat flipping at 8-3 when it's already, there's been some animosity and there's already been some issues. And the first baseman didn't like it. The catcher didn't like it. The pitcher clearly didn't like it. I'm curious to see if Pillar's in the lineup tonight. We don't know. I can't imagine he is because of the admission today. I would think they'll take him out of this to defuse the situation. But Bautista will be in the lineup. I'm thinking, conventionally speaking, he gets hit.
It all depends what's said in the locker room beforehand. Do you really want to set yourself up when all eyes are on it? I mean, the league's going to be paying attention to this. Craig, you've been in situations where I'm sure somebody from the league has called you and said,
oh, yeah.
You guys, tonight, you better be careful because we're watching, and if anybody does something stupid, there's a problem.
The league has even shown up. They've shown up at those games. You know, like, I wasn't part of it, but Todd Bertuzzi, after he hit Marcus, after Steve Moore, they showed up in Colorado. The league was full on force in Colorado because they thought there was going to be something. Yeah. There wasn't. But then it happened a week later in Vancouver when the league wasn't there. So that didn't, you know, you talk about, you know, kind of it never died out for the Vancouver Canucks. They just picked a different venue to exact revenge.
Well, and
like Brian, you played. I mean, if the coaches came in the locker room and said, guys, there's all eyes on this, would you go out and do something stupid like in that particular game?
I don't think I would, but
the old school mentality, and we've talked about it a lot, is you wait a year on a sleepy night when nobody's paying attention, and that's when you go nuts.
But in baseball, usually it's the last game of the series.
Well, he just mentioned, I don't think they're playing the Braves for a while.
For another 2 or 3 years. So this is it. If you want to get them, this is the time to get them. Like Bautista in particular, who knows where he'll be in 2 years. And I don't think it's as much about what the manager has to say. It's about the players. And you could speak to it better than anyone, though. Like if your coach comes in and says, hey, guys, be careful here, but you're sitting there thinking, no, I've got to stick up for my buddy here.
Well, there is those conversations as well. The general manager might come in, the coach might come in, but guess what happens after that? Players huddle up and they say, I don't give a rat's ass what that guy just said. That guy.
Exactly.
One of the things I always...
I've had a general manager sit down right in front of me and say, take a slap shot at Scott Stevens' head. Like, wherever you are on the ice, just stop and take a slap shot at his head. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, how do I actually execute that? Like, do I do...
How do you make that look like a normal hockey play?
But I was always
a believer. You want to talk about a hockey play? How do you make that look like a hockey play?
No, that happens all the time with people. Yeah. Right. I always felt that the players, you know, if they felt they needed to do something, you trust them. Like, other than clubbing somebody over the head, but sometimes you got to leave it in the players' hands. I'll tell you what, if I was the manager of the...
That's the problem, though, Craig. When you trust the players were dum-dums, and we...
No, but you just kind of... I don't think so. I think the players deserve more credit. But if I'm the manager of the Braves, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to four pitchers, and I'm telling them, be ready. Be ready in the second inning. Be ready in the first inning. Because we might get a pitcher thrown out of here real quick.
Well, and John Gibbons would have to counter... Because his conversation to Marcus Stroman
would
be fascinating.
I'll tell you where Bautista's first pitch would be, right up under his chin so he hits the dirt. Mm-hmm. I'm not making any bones about it. I'm telling my pitcher, that's where he gets the first pitch.
I think there's a good chance
right
that's
up and under
happen.
The chin, the first pitch.
But how does Stroman react? Because I tweeted out something last night.
Let's not pump up the Jays game too much.
Stroman's got a bat, too, remember.
Stroman can hit tonight. That's a good point, Craig. Is that
well,
if he gets
get
involved,
some chin music too.
You know, but it's... This is the old unwritten code. No one knows what's going to happen. No one knows what the umpires are going to do.
Yep.
Will they send out warnings before the game starts, after the first hitter, whatever? And will Stroman take it upon himself to continue to escalate it, or will Gibbons and the organization go to him and say, okay, this is what we think is going to happen. Bautista's going to get hit. Do not retaliate. And then it's on him to either heed that advice or go in a different direction. Anyway, Kevin Pillar, we're hoping that he'll speak at some point. If and when that happens, we'll try to let you listen in on that. Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays, the same thing. He flew down to Atlanta. So they've issued a statement. We'll get to that, and we'll get into what went down in Ottawa last night. And now everyone's debating who's going to play a net for Pittsburgh. How about who's going to actually score for Pittsburgh? Who cares who plays a net?
I was on assignment yesterday.
And I'm looking forward to hearing what you had to say about that game.
All right.
We'll get to it next. So here's the breaking news. The Blue Jays have suspended Kevin Pillar for 2 games. I think that was expected, that they would get out in front of this. They would suspend him. How many games was up for debate? I thought they would maybe suspend him 3 because of the precedent set with Escobar a few years ago. But he will be suspended for 2 games.
When I was on my way up and I was starting to make a name for myself and my career, people started calling saying, we want to get involved with you. Obviously, playing in Carolina, it wasn't like Toronto where there's that many opportunities. But I'm pretty sure there was companies that wanted to get involved with Kevin Pillar, the Superman deal. He's evolving into kind of a superstar, is he not?
Yeah, he's having a career year. He's unanimously loved by Jays fans, too.
And this is not the most important element of this topic, Brian, but I'm pretty sure people are saying, no, that's off the table.
For the foreseeable future, I would think that...
No question.
Yeah, and he's already an endorser. He endorses a couple of different products to begin with. Yeah, there's no question. And he's got to pay that price. He was the one that decided to use the word. Yeah. And there's cameras on you at all times in pro sports. So I'm sure that's something he may not be thinking about that right now, but at some point it'll dawn on him the ramifications that are going to come with this. And as for baseball, two games. So he will not be in the lineup tonight. So if the Braves were hoping to get after him, that's clearly not going to happen. And I would think the focus turns to Jose Bautista, but maybe we'll be wrong on this. Maybe Atlanta decides, you know what, for the betterment of everything involved, let's just move on here. And to be honest, the Jays, what they really need is a win. Like, losing three in a row to this team, the Braves are horrible. It's kind of a bit of a sobering three-game losing streak considering how well they have been playing.
It really was. We talked about playing Seattle, going into Atlanta. It's like, this is the opportunity to make a run. They run into Atlanta, and it's like, what's going on here?
No kidding. Like, the Braves were
They're that team.
Brutal.
Remember they talk about pitchers where they're like the stopper or the guy that keeps the streak rolling? Atlanta's the team where you get on a run and you keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? They get destroyed.
Yeah. And they have been beaten up, like really dummied. They've given up, I think, 27 runs in three games. And I was touting their pitching staff, too, coming into this series. I'm like, man, the pitching has been on fire recently. And the Braves have gotten to them. And now Freddie Freeman, though, won't be playing tonight either.
So where are you at is like big picture kind of momentum thing where it's like, I know a couple days ago when I was here, you're like, oh, okay, 17-21, I think they were. You were like, okay, they're back in it.
Well,
are you like, you know what, they pissed away their chance. Now let's get back to the misery. And, I mean, Craig, how do you view that as a GM going with the ups and downs, watching your team? You know, you see a team get back in it. I mean, viewing from up above, and it must be so stressful as a general manager watching your team and observing every shift, every minute. It's like, where's your head at? You're like, do you believe in them? Do you just say, I'm not adding to this, I just got to watch this play out? How do you deal with it?
Well, I think one of the biggest thing is you can't be fooled by little short stretches of good play. When you start out as bad as the Blue Jays have, like, okay, so now they're 17-21. Well, that means they're 70 games at least from being able to compete for a playoff spot. Well, that 70 wins in the rest of the year is a lot of wins with the number of games. So I think the first thing, I always say this about being a manager, you have to look at your team as it is, not as you wished it was, not as you thought it would be or that you hoped it would be, but what it is. And then you've got to make your decisions based on that. And, you know, is it a chance to evaluate something? I mean, you never want to throw up your hands and just say, hey, listen, oh, it's just one of those years. We can't do anything about it. But you got to, I think you got to be really careful about trying to chase a mirage. And I think a lot of teams do that.
I think you're absolutely right. And listen, it's a long season and there's overreactions to winning streaks and losing streaks. Mm-hmm. 4 days ago, they had won five in a row and were 11-14 in the past 15. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, wait a minute, they're only like 3.5 out of a wild card spot here. Then they lose three in a row, and now it's the complete opposite feeling. The truth is, it's probably somewhere in the middle. There's enough material here. There's enough data here to have a good read on what this team is. The injured players are not back yet. And when they do return, there's no guarantees they hit the ground running. Another thing that could come out of this Kevin Pillar situation is this could affect his season. I mean, he is a human being. And this is the kind of stuff where if it's hanging on him and he can't believe he's put himself in this position, I don't know how he's going to come out of it. He may just hit the ground running again. He may be the exact same player. It never affects him, and he just goes on with his life. But the mental game is a part of sports. It's a big part of sports.
Well, I've just gone blank on the player that was playing for the Blue Jays who got suspended with the
Yunel Escobar.
No, it wasn't Escobar. It was the other guy. It was the 80 game.
Colabello.
Colabello.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's never recovered.
No, he's done.
Forget about having he's capsized.
Witness protection.
Just, yeah.
Like, he's gone.
And I don't think that'll happen with Kevin Pillar, but you're right. It might be a stretch of 10 games or 15 games where he's just, I can't. Mm-hmm. Because it's on your mind.
It has to be on your mind. And I'm sure he might be haunted by this for a while, mm-hmm. that he's put himself in this position, and he said what he said, and he's been suspended for two games. Buster Olney will join us in about 25 minutes, get his take on this. Masai Ujiri at 5:30. You were in the building last night. Ottawa, you talk about a rude awakening 12 minutes into that game.
Man. That was an ass-beating 13 minutes it took, and that game was all over. What's the Denny Green line?
They are who we thought they were?
Yeah. I think the Sens thought they had an idea about that defense core for the Pens,
mm-hmm.
and they went out and found out very quickly. If you just get in, get on them, You know, people, like, they always say the cliches, like, don't worry about the Pens. I think the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're in trouble. They look tired. That D-Cor is struggling. Their goalie could maybe steal them a game. I don't believe they're going to start Marc-Andre Fleury. Everybody says Fleury's going to start. I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. I would play the other guy, which is a tough deal for Fleury, but Matt Murray is the guy that's going to the net for me. Wouldn't you play him?
Well, I think you play whoever you think gives you a better chance to win. If it's Murray, you play Murray. Like, it doesn't matter about the feelings of Fleury or what got you to where you got.
Yeah, but that's just a crock of you-know-what line saying, I'm going to play the guy that I think is going to win the... It's a gut call.
Yeah, but
what's your gut tell you? Who are you going to play?
Well, my gut tells me Fleury will bounce back, quite frankly. It was one bad game.
If you're the coach, you play Fleury. If I'm the coach, I'm going to play Matt Murray.
Okay, that's fine. But I'm just saying.
Fleury, I don't have to get in an argument.
I'm not the one arguing. You're the one saying it was a crock what I said. I was being genuine when I say that. I don't think, to be honest with you, I think this is a distraction. I don't think it matters who plays in net. They can't score. They can't skate. They can't score. They can't take over a game. They've done
five
nothing
straight
through three
games. They've played Ottawa, two in the regular season, three in the playoffs, five goals.
They cannot score.
So
who cares who's in there?
I would start the goalie that gives you the best chance to add to your scoring totals.
Right.
And I don't know which one that is. I think Mike Sullivan has got to love. I got to love the fact that they're all talking about the goaltending, because his issues are far bigger than his goaltender.
Right.
That defense is and I know Mike talked after the game last night. Oh, we played half the season. You know, when you're playing one night in Washington, the next night in Carolina, the next night in Buffalo, next game, right? You can play without Chris Letang. When you're playing in the conference final against a team that's well-oiled and really, really coordinated, and you got that defense out, you're in big trouble.
Right.
So, you know what? All you have to do is watch how many times they gave the puck away. And they, for me, Crosby and Malkin, they have to play different. They can't get the puck. Well, so that's why they're not scoring.
They look similar, Craig, to we had many conversations about this when the Penguins were struggling last year for the first 2 months, and we were like,
yep,
that D-Cor can't get the puck to those forwards. And that's exactly what they look like right now. They're going back there. They're chopping it around.
Yep.
They're chopping it into a triangle. By the time it gets to Crosby, it's a pebble. And it's just like... And by the way, Sidney Crosby, he was garbage.
Let's be honest about Sidney.
I watched it. I don't know what you do, but whenever I go to a sporting event, I put an ISO cam on the best player. And I watched him. I'm like, what are you doing out there? You're not Sidney Crosby. The puck was going one way, he'd be floating the other way, and he looked like he did the first 2 months of last season last night. I don't know if he's struggling right now, but he was awful. That's the only way to describe Sidney Crosby last night.
I totally agree with you. And there was one point.
He had a good third period. He had some dangles. He did this and that. But the game was over.
It was irrelevant at that point. When they scored, I think it was the fourth goal. And this, I don't know why it screamed at me, but Sid had the puck in the neutral zone, and he chipped it in as opposed to trying to make a player go wide. And that mentality, I looked at that. I'm like, this guy feels like he's got to get it out of his own zone almost. Dude, get it in and get it away from all of us. Because
he's my favorite player in the league. He's the best player in the world. When you get that title, and I like the guy. He's a guy's guy, and I would say it to his face. It's like he wasn't even close to being Sidney Crosby last night.
He knew he wasn't very good last night, I think. And Mike Sullivan said they didn't start out very well. You know what was interesting last night is all I could think about was Greg Popovich's line after they got blown out by the Golden State Warriors in Game 2. He said, our team didn't believe we could win. I think that's what happened to the Penguins last night. When they fell behind, and it just became like, what does it matter? And
right.
I'm not saying it was conscious. I'm just saying, like, you got to go in with a conviction. We're in here to win this thing. I don't think they felt that they had any real
sense that they could win it. I agree with you. And listen, I was watching it, like all of us were like, whoa, they just scored again. Wow. But it wasn't fluky. It wasn't like 5-on-3 and then they scored and then it was a 5-on-4. This was 5-on-5 play that Ottawa just absolutely destroyed them and embarrassed them.
Derek Brassard's third goal, if you watch it, he comes in, he forces Ian Cole into a mistake. Then he comes back and he forces another mistake. Then he forces Ian Cole into another mistake. And then the defense decides, okay, well, we can't play with the puck. Well, we'll show you that we can't play without it either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that blue line last night was abysmal.
That's a statement that Ottawa absolutely can win the series.
I got a spoiler for you. Like, when you do hits for SportsCenter, we pretty much knew what we were talking about after the first. because it was 4-0. It was like the game. The rest of it was just
filler.
It was filler. It was like, okay, go in there, forecheck, backcheck, get it in, get it out, and then the game.
That was a Michael Bay movie last night. The first 20 minutes, explosions, special effects, and then the plot sets in, and you're like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
This is terrible. Why are we continuing to waste
it? It was Mr. Rogers after that.
If it was Curry match, they would have shook hands after the second period.
We concede. Dormy.
Yeah.
The Pens were dormy.
We need to get to the patch.
At 4-0. Yes. Get us out of here, please.
I'll tell you what. Your boy Filson, he better watch himself next game. He's close to taking a 5-minute major.
You know what he's really close to is Deion saying, okay, and punching him in the face and actually doing serious damage. Because he doesn't actually want anything to do with Deion.
Okay, I got to say
something. He knows Deion isn't going to fight him right now.
How good has Deion been?
He's been exceptional.
The best he's played since he left Calgary, and that's why he pissed me off in Toronto, because I'm like, you could be Scott Stevens. Go out there, make 10-foot passes, crush guys, scare the hell out of guys, be a secondary power play guy, and you're one of the most effective defensemen in the league.
Yeah. Really impressive, isn't it?
But I think when he got here, Craig, he tried to change his game into like a Nick Lidstrom type, which I don't know how he didn't realize within 4 minutes of a game that he wasn't that. Mm-hmm. And I think the contract, the captaincy, it was like, I think he had to, like, and the other thing I mentioned the other day is like, every time he hit a guy, three guys wanted to punch him out, and nobody would back him up, so he's like, why do I want to do this?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, you hit like that, and you play like that, that's a pretty damn effective defenseman.
Mighty effective right now. And the Sens are rolling. Game four tonight, the Ducks looking to tie that series up. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Bob McKenzie will join us at 6:20. Masai Ujiri on the show for the first time since the Raptors went out. I would think pretty gratifying if you're a Raptors fan watching that game last night, because it doesn't matter. I mean, no one's beaten the Cavs. The Cavs and the Warriors are collectively 19-0 in the playoffs. So we'll catch up with Masai, and Buster Olney's coming up. Kevin Pillar suspended for 2 games beginning tonight. We'll continue to touch on that story. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.